Chapter 90. "The boy," she asks, as Dorian furiously warms her hands, muttering things she can't understand under his breath, as he calls fire underneath his skin. "What happened to the boy? The one with the Chancellor?" Dorian blinks at her.
"I don't know. Haven't seen him. For now, let's worry about how you almost got frostbite, yes? Andraste, at least you've finally gotten some boots on. Damn it, damn it, damn it!"
Lavellin feels a little guilty for making him so upset, but mostly she wonders what happened to the boy, if he's all right, if he got taken care of. Dorian uses fire and magic and the sheer force of his will to coax her fingers back into tingling awareness again, and then raises her hands to his mouth, kissing her knuckles.
"Take care of these for me, all right?" he says,
and he looks so tired, and she can feel the tingle of lyrium on her skin as his breath touches her.
"These lovely little things have a lot of work to do in the days ahead."
"I will," she says, and takes his hands into her own, tingling ones, and kisses his fingers. "I will, really." He smiles at her, and there is always a little something confused and sad and hurting in his face whenever he smiles at her, and she doesn't know, but she thinks she does. She doesn't want to know. She doesn't like to see that sad thing in his face. Some day, she hopes that it will go away, that she'll stop hurting him when he looks at her. Or that maybe someday he will tell her about it and take her out of her guesses. But for now, she squeezes his hands in her own and goes to find the boy with the hat and soft voice. She worries. He looks so young. He looks so young. And he looked so thin and pale. He didn't even have a coat. Lavellin has a coat. Even if she doesn't always wear her shoes and gloves, she has a coat. It's a nice coat, and it smells like hay and grass and old leather and dogs and sunshine. It's old and it had to be tailored to fit her, and she sometimes wondered about who used to own it. "Cullen?" she asks, nervous as she peers into a dark tent that she knows is Cullen's. She doesn't want to wake him if he's asleep. No one's been sleeping enough, and it worries her. Cullen doesn't seem to ever sleep. Back at Haven? A pang, because there will never be a Haven. A back at Haven, because Haven is gone, and it's her fault. He was always awake when she got up, and he was always still doing something when she went to sleep. Even when she snuck out at night, she could hear movement in his tent, see a small flicker of a candle. She's heard Cassandra and Leliana talk about it too, how he doesn't sleep. They sounded worried. When those two are worried, Lavellin thinks that the rest of the world should worry too.
"Yes, Harold," Cullen says,
and he's sitting on a cot, sheafs of paper in his hands, and his hair is messy and his beard is really growing out. It makes him look very tired and a little mean and a lot angry. Even his voice is a little brittle. But he looks at her, and she can tell that he's trying to keep his temper. Cullen always tries very hard, and Lavellin doesn't mean to make it worse, but sometimes she does without knowing, and she really needs to try harder. "I'm sorry," Lavellin says, and his face softens, even though she hasn't said what for yet. I don't mean to interrupt. I was just looking for the boy, the one who is with the Chancellor. Have you seen him?" Cullen frowns, expression going a little distant.
"I'm sorry, I can't seem to remember. What did he look like?"
Lavellin bites her cheek, and wonders just how little sleep he's been getting. The commander doesn't forget faces. "Never mind," she says. "Please rest. I'll go get you some soup. You look like you need it. But in the meantime, please rest. I'll be right back." She ducks out of his tent and sprints away, wondering. She'll ask Hara next. He doesn't forget anything. Ever. He would know. But in the meantime, soup. There are more people who need help here than the boy, she knows, and she'll help them as she goes.
Bull catches her in the middle of a nightmare once. Literally. He's making his way back to his quarters from checking in on his guys in the barracks when he sees a thin, pale streak run past him, near silent. Bull starts running after the white shape on instinct, mind thinking about assassins and infiltrators, repercussions of disobeying the Kuhn, when the kid's voice catches up to him. The kid is sprinting along next to him, but he doesn't sound out of breath. Must save them, I can save them, but first I have to run. Get to them. Run, run, run. It hurts, but I run, because if I don't run like a Hala, like wind and fire, they will die, and this, too, is my fault. I have to get to them. I have to save them. Lives in my hands. Long lost haven. Nowhere is safe. I will make it safe. I have to. For them. I will protect you, even if I have to die to do it. I will die for them. 100 times, yes. My loves, my Lethalon, those who are not elf-blooded, yes. My people who chose me, even though I did not always choose them, yes. Dwarf, Shem, Kunari, yes. Them, yes, I will die, yes.
Bull catches up to her as she's clawing her way up a wall, in nothing but one of the flimsy white nightgowns that Josephine and Vivian keep bringing in from Orlais in an attempt to civilize her. And her skin is pale and thin and marked up as she tries to scratch her way up a wall with nothing but her bare hands. He knows she could actually do it, maybe, if she was fully awake. Careful, because if you wake a dreamer up too fast, they can die. The shock of reality breaking their hearts as you break the dream. He puts both hands around her, even though he really only maybe needs one arm to pick her up. And gently, because with his boss, you always gotta be gentle. Even though it doesn't always look like it. Gotta be gentle with the humans, gentler with the elves. Dawnstone, sharp and beautiful, but so fucking, fucking brittle if you handle them wrong. Dawnstone and onyx, dangerous shit, but the process is hard and frail. He picks her up, gentle, even as she clings to the stone with her fingertips. She's freezing, and her ribs flutter underneath his hands. Cole is quiet at his side for a moment.
Love them. Yes, I need them. Yes, they are mine. Yes, they will die. Yes, this is the nightmare. Yes, I am so afraid. Yes, it doesn't matter. Yes, I love them more than anything. Yes.
Bull glances down at Cole, and Cole is looking directly at him.
I will protect them. Yes.
And who are you reading now? Bull asks. Cole tilts his head.
Yes.
And then he disappears. Bull tucks her into the cradle of his arms and goes to carry her back to... No, probably not a good idea to put her in her room. Damn lucky she didn't sleepwalk right off a balcony. The barracks. He'll put her next to Krem, or Dalish, or Grimm, maybe. Those three are the best at dealing with dreams. They'll keep her safe, and they'll talk it out, or not, in the morning. Whatever she needs. Yes.